podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Transfer Carnage. And boy, I'm telling you, tonight was carnage. I'm smiling and I'm going to be nice to Avi, my co-host, because it's my fault. I'm late, people. But listen, better late than never, hey? And listen, it's all about... we're here, man. The main thing is we're here. And Avi, I know you're not very happy with me today, but listen... As a forfeit, I'm going to be nice to you tonight. How's that? For me being late and messing up the show with 10 minutes late, I'm going to be nice to you. How you doing, my brother from California?
Very disgruntled. Who configures their computer at like 1:40?
Not me.
It was you.
Not me. It must be the kids. Honestly, I can only blame the kids. But, even though I'm the boss, you know, we know they're the boss, right?
Yeah. So anyway, it's good. It's good to be here, Sunny, as always. And do you want me to introduce Jess?
Man.
Or do you want to do the honors? Do you want to do the honors?
No. You have to do the honors. I'm not worthy of introducing our special guest today.
You shouldn't have turned up today, Chris.
Over to you to introduce our special guest today.
Yeah, we've got another American, so you're outnumbered today, Grizz. I want to welcome Jess. At Jacinho, she knows ball, she knows Arsenal. Great content. Make sure you guys give her a follow. But welcome, Jess, your first show with us.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, I'm more chill about the late thing. No problem with me. You know, I'm excited to talk transfers and Liverpool and all that kind of stuff with you guys. So, yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely. Listen, as I was telling you off air, while you guys were going mad and panicking and there was me relaxed and all calm and switching wires, this is the nature of the game we're in, man. And this is what makes it all fun. Because, look, at the end of the day, we're not Match of the Day. We're not Sky Sports. We're not BN Sports. We're reps of our clubs and we love our clubs and we like to chat football in a relaxed environment. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, things going haywire a bit. But listen, Jesse, we got you in today. And it's, you know what? It's
Jess, amazing. Jess. It's Jess. We refer to her as Jess, not Jesse. Yeah? Please.
I'm sorry. Jessica. My apologies. He's right. You know, I get carried away with the names sometimes. So listen, feel free to correct me when I'm wrong because I'm wrong often. But listen, it's amazing timing we got you on today because I wanted to touch upon like your club's like transfer plans. And looks like you guys are serious this window. But it always seems like you're serious at the start and then it kind of drags on. But this time, the news, I don't know if you've been up to like sort of caught up with it, but there's news of a breaking news of a bid from Everton for Ben White, which seemed to be a player that you guys have secured. Your thoughts on that, Jessica?
Well, I'm pretty calm. I mean, I'm very calm. I just think there's several ways to think about this. We all know that when a club is want something different, you know, in terms of terms for a deal, sometimes they'll go to, you know, media outlets and start to make a fuss to try to force, you know, the club that they're in talks with to pay up. And that's what it feels like to me. It very much feels like we want more money up front. We want 50 instead of 45 plus 5. And Arsenal is not really budging. And also Ben White is in the Euro. So there's still some time to negotiate. Maybe Everton has made an inquiry. It's kind of a little bit weird. They have Ben Godfrey. I think they spent about 40 million on Ben Godfrey, who already kind of plays in that position. Yep. So it feels a little bit weird that they'd be interested in Ben White. So for me, it's just this kind of paper talk, trying to force Arsenal's hand to go ahead and pay that extra 5 million and more up front. But then also, if there is an aspect of Ben White, like, okay, I want to go to Everton because they seem serious about me because they're moving quick, then go. You know, we can spend that 50 million somewhere else. You know, we have Saliba, so if you don't want to come, then we'll live with it. That's kind of how I think about it. But I think this deal is pretty much done. We're just haggling over last minute details and we'll see after the Euros what happens. He may be an Everton player, he may be an Arsenal player, but either way, I think we're good.
Yeah, so I totally understand where you're coming from. You're right. Absolutely. It's a time where there's a lot of mind games, as you said, with clubs trying to sort of negotiate and get the upper hand in terms of who looks the stronger in the negotiations type of thing. Before I ask Avi about the situation and what he makes of it, what's your thoughts on Ben White himself as a player with his value? I mean, I know Liverpool were interested in him quite significantly, but we weren't prepared to pay anything like 50 million for him. We were sort of more looking 30 million for him. You guys have gone in on the deep end and thought, you know, let's put the money on the table and see what it's all about. What's your thoughts on the player? And if you think the values...
Just 1 second, Chris. Just 1 second. I'm just going to add Mike from Blue Boys Network. Sorry, guys. It's a bit of a mayhem show today, but we've got Mike on. So I'm just going to add Mike as well to the stream. And then, Jess, if you want to continue with the Ben White stuff.
Sure.
Mike, how's it going, mate?
Oh, good, peeps. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. How are you, Grizz? How are you, Avi? And it's lovely to meet you, Jess.
Nice no problem. You. Pleasure to meet you. Mikey's, it's a bit of a carnage today. But listen, that's what it's about. You know, I know you've had... First, I want to ask: Is your pops okay? Everything okay with the pops?
Yeah. Right? The sound. I'm sitting in the car now, as you can see. I've literally rocked up. I thought, you know what? I won't.
Dedication.
Won't disturb the little one. I'll just jump straight in the car and just do it out there. I'm sitting outside a doctor's next to my house. Lights on, shining bright, ready to go.
Amazing, beautiful. But listen, it's this amazing time because I was just asking Jessica about the Ben White situation. Everton have made a bid. I just wanted Jessica's thought on the player himself. What do you think of him? What do you know about him?
I think he's a good player. I don't think any of us are under the illusion that he's worth 50 million, 55 million. We know that that's just, you know, I don't know, Premier League tax, you know, being part of the English national team tax, you know, things like that. So I think he's a good upside player. He's somebody that, you know, could potentially be worth a lot more in the future. He seems like for Arteta, he would be our version of a John Stones, you know, next to Gabriel. He's a good age. He's 24, which is, you know, a little bit more of a safety net versus somebody like Saliba coming from a different league, being 20 years old. So I think he's good. He's good with the ball at his feet. I don't necessarily think he's an amazing defender, but I don't think that's why we'd be looking for him. It's more about playing the ball out of the back, being comfortable on the ball. We have Rob Holding. He's not really comfortable like that. So he's a good player, you know, but we're overpaying. And anybody who wants to buy him will overpay because that's just what you have to pay for Premier League proven players that are English and in the English national team. It is what it is, you know, but good player. Good player.
Mike, sure. Mike, just to make some tremendous points in terms of the ball playing side of him, being young, English, the Premier League tax and everything. You've recently, well, I think last season, bought Ben Godfrey.
Yeah.
And, so similar situation, I think you paid about 35, 30 million for him, was it? Something like that?
I think it was 25, but there's a
25. Whatever. Yeah. So, and now it's turned out sort of that it's just breaking news that you guys have made a bid for Ben White. Matched the bid, I think. Is it Jessica? Matched the bid? Is the news coming out or something like that?
They're paying what Brighton wants plus more money up front. Okay. But it's also been reported that it's not a bid. There's no formal offer. It's just that's what they're willing to pay.
Okay. Mike, thoughts? Ben White?
I tell you what, it's mad to be an Everton fan at the minute. From an Everton fan perspective, obviously, I was worried about financial fair play with ourselves, to be honest. You know, it looks like we're going to be another window where we're going to spend a lot of money, and we've still got this very aging dead squad in front of our centre back. So I was a little bit surprised when I read that Everton were prepared to pay 50 million for Ben White. However, I kind of think it is paper talk. I kind of think it's just a way of getting Arsenal to pull the trigger a little bit.
That's
more.
That's exactly what Jess just said. Yeah,
it's very, very easy to compare Everton and Arsenal. I'm not saying Everton are as big as Arsenal. I'm not saying that. But both clubs are very much in a transition period. Everton are trying, as we already know, failed last season to break into that top six. Arsenal have slipped down and again trying to break back into it. It's very easy to compare Everton, who's getting a new stadium, prepared to spend money, young squad. We've Arsenal, who has got a young manager, a young squad, want young, hungry players. So I really do think that I think he'll be an Arsenal player at the end of the window. And I'm not buying into Everton really being prepared to spend 50 million on Ben White. I'm really not.
Mm-hmm. Avi, Ben White fan. I'm not going to lie. Let me just quickly give my opinion because it's the least valuable out of our lot. So I'm just going to give mine. I think he's a fantastic player. I'm a massive Ben White fan. I think he's going to develop into an absolute Rolls Royce of a defender. Yes, he needs to develop more on the sort of his actual defending, but I think that comes with experience, playing with better players around him. I think he's ready for the next level. I hope I haven't sort of infiltrated your thoughts, Avi. You can give your thoughts now.
No, I think he's a good player. Look, he had a great breakout season at Leeds, came to Brighton last season. I thought he found it tough at centre-back, and then I think Potter sort of transitioned him into a deep-lying midfielder, which sort of helped him mature a little bit. I think he showed a lot of intelligence in that role as well. Whether he can lead the line in an Arsenal back four, I don't think he can. I think with Everton, I think Godfrey's a brilliant defender, but I know he's played off the left at times for the Ev. And then you've got obviously Keane, who's been tremendous for the last sort of 18 months. Mike, you might disagree, but I think he's been pretty good. So I think Ben White, I think it is more sort of, he's sort of banned for Arsenal. I think Everton, I think it's just paper talk. I think Everton obviously have just made an appointment, which has been a bit controversial, as we know, in the last 48 hours. We'll come to that. But no, I think Ben White is probably Arsenal banned myself, Chris.
So let's just assume that Ben White is Arsenal bound. What else are you looking to do in this window, Jessica? What else do you think Arsenal need to do in this window? And what's likely?
Well, what I like is that we're filling gaps in the squad from play. Like, there's players or positions that we didn't have covered that we're actually doing already. So we brought in Tavares from Benfica, who's going to be a backup left back. Lokonga, who's going to be like a midfield rotational option that's very similar to Thomas Partey, but young with high upside. And then you're going to bring in a right-sided center back in Ben White, who will hopefully be, you know, swapping time with Saliba. So those are good things, but let's not get it twisted. We still need a starting central midfielder, whoever's going to replace Granit Xhaka. And then we're probably going to need something of a creative midfielder, whether that person plays off of the left, like an Awar, or they play through the middle as a number 10, like Odegaard or James Maddison or something like that. Not saying I'm getting these players, but, you know, something like that. That's what we need to do. I think we can avoid striker altogether. We have Aubameyang, Lacazette, Balogun, and Nketiah. All these guys are still here, Martinelli. So, yeah, creative midfielder, central midfielder still need to get done, but a good start. And, you know, you guys have said that, like, we usually start off pretty fast and then things kind of taper off. This is the first time that I've actually seen us really, really get things done early. So I think that's a good sign.
Just on that quickly, and then we'll sort of swiftly move on. But just a quick one on Granit Xhaka. I know he dyed his hair for the Euros. He's gone all blonde, but he looks like a brand new player. Does that frustrate you as an Arsenal fan? Because you know that he's got it in him. And to be fair, he has played games where he has performed really well, but it's just finding that consistency with him, because he looks like he's been amazing against France. He was everywhere. He was pinging passes, 40, 50 crisp passes on the pitch. He was probably the best sort of midfielder on show. Pogba played well, don't get me wrong, but, you know, Pogba's Pogba, you know, with a little jig and a dance. But I thought Granit Xhaka was, I thought he was boss against France.
I mean, it's a little bit more frustrating in terms of, like, I don't think he's been holding back from us. And this is like a performance that he's been holding from the Arsenal fan base. It's just we've never had the right players around him in order to get the best out of him. It's a squad building issue. They brought him in and they never gave him a box to box, like a mobile box to box player to play next to him. And that's an issue. The first time that we've seen him play really well for Arsenal was with Thomas Partey. So it's not like we haven't seen this. I mean, we've had a bad season, so it's harder to see. But we know Granit needs to be playing next to somebody with a little bit more mobility. We've never done that. He's been playing next to Torreira and Ceballos, and that's just not the right thing. So it's a squad building issue, but it's still time for him to move on. We need something different in that midfield. So I hope he gets his move to Roma and we make a little bit of money and we can kind of shift around the midfield. But for me, I felt a little bit just more happy for him that people can see that and validated in kind of like my feelings about how he's not as bad as people make him out to seem. It's just the fan base. Once we get on somebody, we just absolutely keep piling on.
Yeah, absolutely. No, no. It's, listen, near enough every fan base does that. When a player becomes not so favorite anymore, it all it takes is one bad move, and then every move of his is scrutinized more than it should be. So even though Xhaka will have good games, his bad points will always be lurking in the back of people's thoughts and minds. Like, he's the same guy that dropped the captaincy ban. I don't know if he chucked it, but he placed it on the floor, whatever. You know, there was a big uproar about that. But I'm with Avi. I thought he was fantastic. But look, again, you know your club better, but I would have thought, I'm in agreement that, yeah, you need the money to sort of finance other deals, as you said. I'm surprised you didn't say strike. I'm surprised you're happy with the strikers that you've got, because I know you mentioned Aubameyang, but he just doesn't like playing through the middle, does he? He likes to come in off the left, but you're saying you'd rather him go through centrally? Is that what you're trying to say?
He actually prefers to play through the center. It just, the difference is that as a center forward at Arsenal, because we don't have a lot of creativity, our center forward has to build up and they have to come a little bit deeper, and he'd rather play off of the shoulder and just run in behind. So until we're able to have more creative players in behind him, it's a little bit more difficult, but I think we'll solve that over the summer. Ultimately, though, we're not going to be able to address every single position. Exactly, and I think striker is going to be the one that we just miss out on, and maybe have to figure it out later.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, Mikey, we've got to address the elephant in the room. Amazing week, I'd say, or couple of weeks since the rumors started happening. You've just appointed a Liverpool legend.
Careful, Grizz, with that word.
Look, I don't care what people say. He's a legend of Liverpool Football Club. We'll come on to what we think as Liverpool fans, and I'll be curious to see what Jessica thinks as a neutral. But Mikey, talk me through when the rumor first came, and you thought, this can't be real, and then the emotions through it, and then when he's appointed, how do you feel now? Is it different from when the rumors came out? Do you feel differently now that it's happened? Talk to me.
It's difficult for me because, again, I was one of, I would say, the minority of Everton fans. Actually, I didn't have a problem with Everton appointing Benitez. I didn't have an issue. I understand Everton fans have fumed, like they have been livid. I mean, there's been banners, there's been all sorts of horrible things written about Benitez. And to be honest, it's sort of disappointing to see that from my perspective, because I just don't think some of the things that were written needed to be so personal against him, you know, trying to put banners in and around his house. It was just madness. But I do understand Everton fans' frustrations. Like, he is a Liverpool legend. You know, we won a Champions League with you in 2005. You come back from 3-0 down with some fantastic substitutions on his behalf, and you won a game, a very tough game against Carlo Ancelotti. So the last two Everton managers were in that final. That's what's mad. Everton have got two managers who have won the Champions League, who have sort of transcended each other. So for me, yeah, when the rumours first come out, I wasn't against it. I actually put money on it. And won money on that bet.
Did that pay for the wedding, Mike?
Not quite.
Oh my God. First of all,
I know,
apologies.
Grizz. You're so disrespectful, Grizz.
Absolute apologies, Mike. Oh my God, how dare I? Do you know what? It's been that kind of day. I'm all over the place. Congratulations. We saw the amazing pictures. My God, are you punching? But that's a different story. You know, absolute congratulations to you and your other half as well. Sorry.
Yeah, no, cheers, man. I appreciate it. And yeah, I am punching. but now I think if you take the Liverpool element out of Rafa Benitez, he's been successful at Chelsea. He's been successful at Valencia. All right, we might argue with Newcastle, but he did a good job at Newcastle. You know, we got them promoted with a very poor side. he's not done a bad job anywhere, and he's still got a very good reputation and name in world football. Maybe he isn't the Rafa Benitez of 15 years ago. Maybe he isn't, but but what he is someone who's still got enough of a name to still bring in and attract some of these players that Everton want to attract. You know, Everton on paper at this moment in time are a complete mess. You know, they are. Carlo Ancelotti's left. You don't know what's happening with James Rodriguez, Richarlison, Allen, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's been linked with Arsenal. You know, we don't know where we are. So to bring in a manager like Rafa Benitez, who knows the Premier League, who is an established name, who is stable, I think we've done a better job than what Spurs have with Nuno. I'd rather pick an established Premier League proven manager who has a big name and manage big teams than, yes, Nuno did a good job, but he's not managed at the top level. And if Everton wants to get to the top level, then they need to get a top level proven manager. And although it was a long time ago, at least he's been there. At least he's done it. So I was cool with it, but I would say 90% of the Everton fan base was against it. And it was fucking brutal. But what they should have done is pointed the finger at the board. You know, Benitez come out and said, look, I'm happy to join your club. I want to join your club. I'll do well for the city. I love the city. Supports cancer charities, supports, you know, children who don't have anything. He does so much for Liverpool as a city. It doesn't make sense to hate him, irrespective of what he said 13 years ago. You know, he made a comment that Everton was a small club when Everton were fifth in the league. And I think Liverpool were fourth at the time. It was 13 years ago. I'll let it slide. David Moyes called Suarez a diver. You know, we've disrespected Liverpool over the years.
Absolutely. There's no coach that doesn't disrespect another neighbour or rival at some stage in his career. It's like, you know, that's what coaches do. It's all part of the setup, the mind games, to get one side motivated over others.
So I sort of just get on with it. The comment was made a long time ago, and whether Everton fans like him or not, I appreciate their opinion. They're more than entitled to it. We all are entitled to our own opinion. But for me, I'm cool with it, and I wish him well, and I hope we do succeed. And at the end of the day, if we don't succeed, we're going to be in exactly the same boat we was 18 months ago, looking for a new manager yet again.
Avi, I know you want to dive in into sort of your thoughts, but I just want to get your thoughts about Rafa from the Liverpool perspective. When you first heard the rumours and you thought, Rafa's not going to take this, but then he takes it. Does it diminish his legacy in any way whatsoever? Is there, you know, just give me your thoughts, man. Talk to me as well.
Grizz, when it first was linked, I didn't think much of it. I thought, I think Mashiri's up to his old tricks here, just to try and wind up Liverpool fans and whatnot. But then the more and more the week went on, the more and more his representatives didn't really deny it. You thought maybe because of his wife, Monty, and the two daughters are based in Liverpool. They were still based in Liverpool when he was at Newcastle as well. You thought, hang on a minute, this actually could become a reality. And then obviously, pretty much last week, before the confirmation, it was sort of, certain that he was going to become Everton manager. I think it's a fantastic appointment for Everton. I really do. He's not washed up, as many are claiming. He's went to China for a little project, for a payday, really. He's come back. He's looking for a fresh job. He's trimmed down a bit as well from what I've seen from the latest pictures. So he's been working on his fitness a little bit. But he's,
like me, you mean?
He's, and, you know, he's done a really good job at Newcastle. We know what he's done at Liverpool, Valencia prior. Done a really good job at Napoli. So he's managed some tough clubs with some tough owners. Laurinaitis at Napoli. He had the two clowns that, you know, were managing, which were custodians for our football club prior to FSG. So he's worked with tough, Mike Ashley. You know, so he's worked with tough owners. He's worked at Madrid. He had a stint at Madrid where they didn't even want him, but he still took that job on. Albeit for a short while, but I think it was bigger than that because he had big personalities in that squad. We won't say who. I think he will do really well. As a Liverpool fan, I'm over it. Like, literally, I'm over it. Maybe I won't understand it because I'm not really from the Liverpool area. Maybe it hurts more for the local, which I totally understand. But for me, it's, you know, he managed us from a period of 2005 to 2010, gave us some great years, two European Cup finals, an FA Cup, nearly won the league in 08-09. So for me, it's, you know, I wish him well. Obviously, I don't want him to succeed at Everton. I think Mike, you know, no disrespect to you, but I don't, if he gets you guys relegated, even better. But no, I can see him getting maybe a top seven finish next season and then consolidating from there. I think he'll bring silverware, to be honest, whether it's a League Cup or an FA Cup. I think he will deliver.
Jess, from the outside, if for example, like, I think from my experience with Arsenal fans, I think about...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
70% wanted Arteta gone at the end of the season. If that happened and you was in a position where Nuno, who's just taken the Spurs job, and Rafa came on the market, what would your thoughts be as who you'd like to take over Arteta?
Those are the only two options. There's nothing else.
Unfortunately, yeah, you come on. You know, beggars can't be choosers. I'm not calling Arsenal beggars, but I'm not far off.
Yeah, I don't think that's a really tough one.
I asked the tough questions, yeah.
I mean, I guess you take Rafa Benitez because you knew that he has experience, but at the same time, he doesn't really strike me as a project manager for me. Like, I think he's more of a higher... like maybe a better version of Sam Allardyce in terms of his fixer ability. Like, he can come in and do a job quickly, and Arsenal is a long-term project, you know? So, but I think he would be the easiest to get the fans to back, you know, because Nuno, yeah. For me, I don't really understand that one at all. So I would say Benitez, you know, that'd probably be the better option.
Just a question, just for me. When Wenger left, you got in Unai Emery. If you had the choice at that point, I think Benitez was coming off a top three finish at Napoli. I think they won the Coppa Italia that season as well. Would you have taken Benitez over Emery at that specific moment? Or would you have gone with the younger sort of Spanish manager up and coming?
I mean, again, you're giving me two options that I'd prefer neither, but I'd probably take Benitez still. Okay. You know, it's just Unai Emery never made sense to me at all. You know, he failed at PSG. Arsenal is a, you know, whether people want to accept it or not, is still a very big club with a lot of pressure. Because, I mean, the person that follows Arsene Wenger needs to be, have just as much, you know, respect and a big personality. And he was very meek and a little bit of a yes man type. I know people think Arteta is, but no, Unai Emery definitely was a yes man. He definitely was getting puppeted around, you know. So Benitez probably still, but again, he's just not somebody that I would want at Arsenal in general.
Chris, just a question that's come in for you, Grizz, from the comments. Just a question, and then we'll go to Mike. It's a question, and I think it's aimed at you as well. So we obviously know these montages and pictures of Rafa on flags and whatnot, the cop end, Grizz. Would you now sort of like take him away from the cop and just put him away?
I wouldn't have that flag, especially on Merseyside Derby Day. I think it's absolutely disrespectful to take his face away from that. People are saying replace it and all that kind of thing. It's not that deep. It really ain't. My overall thinking and feeling is I'd rather he didn't go to Everton, but I understand that he's a professional and we know he's the top, top professional. No, you don't have to take it out. Take that off my screen. Don't, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You don't take off, you know, he's a legend. You don't do something silly like that. That's disrespectful. What he's done for the community especially around Hillsborough, will never, ever be forgotten, and it can't be wiped off out of history. It can't be. It's important. That's not. It's. It would be silly and sad. So he would forever be an absolute legend. I just don't wish him well in this job. You know, he's had so many jobs in his career, and you wish him well wherever he goes. But this is one of those jobs where you don't wish him well. You know, we understand. No, some may not understand, but we can respect that he took a job for whatever reasons. He has his reasons: family, locality, everything. But in terms of the flag, I think the best thing probably is to just make a new flag, maybe. You know, something around that's got Jurgen Klopp in it, because, you know, Jurgen Klopp's in there, but, you know, something different. Maybe put it away, but never, we can't replace that picture and put another one in. So, like some silly fans are saying, that would be wild.
Not replace, but just take him out then. Just take him off then.
Not even take him off it. No, just put the flag on. Make a new flag. Make a different flag. You know, something else. Don't have to be sort of remembering that, you know, particularly. So, you know, it's a difficult one. I'm sure the Anfield crowd will come to a resolution of what they're going to do about that. It'll be interesting to see, intriguing to see. But Mike, now that you've got Rafa Benitez, how does it change the outlook from Everton's point of view? Like we were talking about, sort of seemingly Ben White is off to Arsenal, and then maybe it's the pull of Rafa that could sway things in these kind of situations, these kind of deals. Like, so, because if you get the option of choosing to play for Arteta or Rafa Benitez, most will choose Rafa Benitez. Are you encouraged by that? Does this give you hope that you could have a good summer where you can bring in some good players, big players?
I think first and foremost, Rafa's job is to stabilise what we've got. And if he can do that, then he's already done well, because, you know, Alan's been linked with Real Madrid. Rodriguez could go to AC Milan. You know, Moise Kean could go to PSG. Calvert-Lewin could go to Arsenal. Richarlison could go to Real Madrid. You take them five players out of Everton, and we've got some serious issues. You know, there's no aiming for top seven there. That's fighting off bottom five. But I trust Rafa to do a better job than I did, for example, Nuno. So I'm sort of an open book with him. You know, I don't know. A lot of Everton fans have come out and said, oh, he's washed up. You know, he managed Newcastle. He went to China. I think it's unfair to judge a manager like that before they've even started. So he's a clean slate for me. But he has got the reputation that you need. And that's kind of sells it to me over any of the other managers who are available. You know, there was Gauthier available from Lille, just won the league. Everton didn't approach him. There was, you know, big managers like Conte, Everton. You know, we need to be realistic. We weren't going to go in for Conte.
Could have gone back in for Big Sam, Mike.
Well, maybe we've got the Spanish equivalent. I don't know. But I trust that Rafa knows what he's doing, and hopefully he builds us up. But again, as I say, Grizz, it's an open book at the minute. This summer's massive for Everton Football Club, but he's got constraints. We do have issues with financial fair play. I'd be shocked if Everton go out and spend mega money this summer. I really, really would.
Really? I would have thought, wow, I thought that he'd be backed.
It's not that he wouldn't be backed. I think we've got serious issues with financial fair play. Like, serious issues, like...
But has the financial fair play been relaxed this season?
I think it's been relaxed, but not to the degree that Everton... I mean, Everton potentially are going to report a loss of 170 million this year.
You're also building a huge stadium as well. That's exactly. Going to make a huge difference. Like, from experience, you stop spending money on transfers when you build a stadium. Spurs is going to have the exact same issue. It's probably why they couldn't bring in Conte. You know, because you have to make those payments.
Yeah.
They've got Usman off bankrolling him from the back and privately, isn't they? Really? We know that story.
It was quite funny, actually, because the picture that was released, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a picture of the Everton CEO, Rafa Benitez, Leighton Baines, Duncan Ferguson. There's a little guy in the middle, and the little guy is Usmanov's nephew. And you just know the little touches. They're just like... Yeah, he's definitely there. You know, there's no getting around it. But Everton have Everton have spent £530 million to finish 10th in 5 years. That's where we are. So he's got a huge job in stabilising a team and spending the right money on the right players, because in the past we haven't done that. So he's got a huge job, and I wish I hope he delivers. But if he doesn't, it's going to go very toxic very quickly at Goodison Park.
Oh no, I can't wait for that part. That's my favourite part. I'm already looking forward to that part. Arsenal and Everton are two clubs where the fans just have absolute no patience, man. It seems like, you know. But listen, it is what it is, man. We've spent far too long talking about Everton, I think. Now, I'm only joking. But listen, Avi, I tried to quickly ask you.
Just got a super chat in, Grizz. Shall I read it, or do you want to read it?
Nah, you know, you're the one with a masterful English. Go for it.
Thanks, from Asim Mahmood. Thanks for the super chat. Looks like the market has started to move. Come on, Liverpool, let's finalise the Wijnaldum replacement and get an exciting attacker to help the top four. Personal favourites, Tielemans and Rafinha. Time to invest. Thank you, Asim.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were talking we talk way too much to each other, but one of the topics that we spoke about in the WhatsApp group was about, in terms of Euros coming to an end, and also a lot of teams sort of being knocked out, so the players becoming available. But I want to touch upon, before we go into the players that could be sort of involved in the Euros and the Copa, while we got Jessica as well, I want to ask about Bissouma. Again, rumours about Bissouma with Liverpool originally, and then Arsenal, and then Arsenal being his favourite club. And now we hear about Arsenal concentrating on, tell me, Jessica, the guy's name. I can't, the guy you pulled from Belgium.
Lokonga.
Mm-hmm. Near enough agreed a deal. That indicates, Avi, I think, in my opinion, that indicates that then Bissouma's not priority. Where does that leave Bissouma, you think, in terms of what he does? And do we go back in for him? It's a tricky one, because we don't really like going back for players who have said no to us. And to all reports, it seemed like he preferred Arsenal. We don't normally like players that not fully 100% committed.
Is that for me?
Yeah, it's for you,
bro. Okay. Yeah, look, Bissouma was obviously liked. He's probably still is liked by the Liverpool scouting team and whatnot. We like him. He obviously has a massive, massive love and, you know, affiliation with Arsenal Football Club. He wanted to join them. His hero is Patrick Vieira, you know, so you can understand that kind of point of view. But as an up and coming player who's 24, I'm looking at two projects here. Arsenal are nowhere, no disrespect to you, Jessica, and any Arsenal fans if they're watching, but you're not in that same stratosphere as Liverpool right now, currently. We've had a freakish season with the amount of injuries that we've had and the personal tragedies that we've had as a football club. We will be back at the top. You know, we will be fighting for the title. We will be going man for man with City, perhaps United as well, and probably Chelsea as well, of course, Chelsea, because they're spending big. It does, like, make me feel, you know, what is Bissouma's agent doing as such? Like, is he trying to fend off other teams? Has there been more interest from maybe a Manchester United? Because I know the Pogba talk will come up again now. What's happening with him this season? Fred has flattered to deceive. Matic is getting on now, 33, 34. McTominay. So you think that maybe other teams are coming in for him. But yeah, it's just a weird one with Bissouma. You'd think that, you know, we've got rid of Wijnaldum. You know, we did like Bissouma. Why that deal hasn't happened, and I know there's a gentleman's agreement of 40 million.
I have an answer.
Do it. Say it.
We haven't sold Xhaka yet. Until we sell him, we can't go for Bissouma. So, you guys, like, people always question the pool. Like, we do have something with the African and French players where they just love us, you know. So if he knows that there's an offer on the table from Liverpool, but he's waiting around for something else, and maybe just for us to sell Xhaka.
Jesse, do you actually think that you're going to go for two central midfielders? So you think there's no hunger guy, and you're going to go for a Bissouma type as well? Aren't they similar?
No, I think because Lokonga is very similar to Thomas. They have very similar qualities in terms of being a little bit more long-legged, more box-to-box, whereas Bissouma is a little bit more close, more tight, more central defensive midfielder, very much a six. And we need both. You need a box-to-box and somebody to protect the back line. I think you saw my tweet. I'm very tired of people trying to tell me that Thomas Partey and Bissouma are the same player because they're freaking not, you know. So for me, it's like, I want Bissouma to come. Like, I think that's the most obvious player to bring in. Neves is a no for me. We know we're not getting Locatelli. We need legs. We need players that can cover from sideline to sideline and box to box. I think it works. But again, if he knows that you guys are interested, but he's not quite, you know, ready to make that step to Liverpool, it might just be because he's hanging back to see what happens with us. He's definitely not our first choice, which is very strange. Like, yeah. There's somebody else in the fold that we're waiting for, but I do think that there's still a chance that we may come in for him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was waiting, to be honest.
From our point of view, who's our first choice, Avi? This is the million-dollar question now. Like central midfielders, we had – I don't know, have we discussed – John McGinn, have we discussed him on the previous show?
We have. Yeah, you've got a short memory, Chris. Must be the old age, but we have discussed John McGinn. Look, you know who my first choice is. You know who I believe that we would be getting. That's Florian Neuhaus. I'm happy to get egg on my face.
Let me just stop you right there. There's a different. So Florian Neuhaus.
Not Neuhaus. It's not
all right. Listen, I'm getting enough stick. I'm getting enough stick in the chat about Jesse and Jess and Jessica. Like, people are saying, what if we called you Grizzy, Grizzles, Grizzly? Like, I wouldn't mind people. Like, you know, me and Jessica have only met for 41 minutes, but we're cool. She's calm with me. She ain't got a problem with me calling her Jesse from time to time because we roll like that. So just lay off, man. But Avi, getting back to this chat, right? And guys, you guys are my witnesses, right? He said that Florian Neuhaus would be his choice of a central midfielder for Liverpool Football Club.
No. My first choice was
right. So that's the question.
My first choice was Yves Bissouma, Grizz. You know this privately. I've raved about Bissouma. I think he's had a fantastic season. I think he's a perfect replacement for Ronaldo. Not as energetic, maybe, but I think he's a little bit. He has similar traits. But I think we have walked from any sort of deal that we were going to do with Bissouma, because we're a club that doesn't hang about. You know, we did that with Ismail Assar last season when we asked Watford what their price was for him. And then all of a sudden, 24 hours, we've gone and brought Diogo Jota. So I think we probably gave Bissouma a deadline and they probably said, look, we can't make a decision yet. And then we've gone on to the next target. As you know, Liverpool live off this system that they have, the successful scouting team have, and they'll go to the next option. That next option, I believe, is Florian Neuhaus. Germany have been knocked out. I would expect some kind of movement in the next coming days. I think it was today, wasn't it? The first official sort of transfer window where we can now start to talk to European clubs and whatnot. Absolutely. So I would have expected a Konate unveiling video today or tomorrow. And then let's see what the next couple of days hold. We have a fan base right now, Grizz, very toxic, as we know on Twitter, like very impatient, especially now that Sancho has pretty much confirmed his move to Manchester United. And now everyone's like, oh, tweeting at the owners, tweeting at Mr. Henry and whatnot, saying, oh, you know, where's our move? Let's be a bit patient and let's see what. Look, there's a long time till the first game of the season, a long time. Yes, we do like to bring in our signings early, get them in for pre-season, but sometimes that's not always the way, as with Thiago and as with Jota. It does take time sometimes to get complex deals, especially during a COVID hit 18 months. These deals are more complex because we do want sort of payment structures in place where we want them over a length of 4 or 5 years. I think Sancho's deal, that's been spread over 5 years as well, 17 million a year. So, you know, it is one of those situations where we've just got to be a bit patient and we will make the right signings. I still firmly believe that. Grizz, you were on the same train that we will have a successful summer. So let's wait and see.
I'm going to let you bring up some comments and we'll address a few comments while I ask Mike his opinion on what you've mentioned. So we'll come back to the Liverpool stuff for the final part of the show. So you make a note of some comments, Avi. Mike, Sancho, just I guess no horse in the race. Neutral opinion. What do you think about that deal, the price, the player?
It's been a deal that's been going on now for, what, 2 years, really? It's a player that I fully expected to be a Man United player last summer. 90 million. In today's money, that's probably about right. Arguably, he's done well in Germany. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to do well in the Premier League. So I think it's a bit of a gamble. However, look, there's no doubt he's a quality player who's got everything, can beat a man, can score goals. He's a good signing for Manchester United. The issue Manchester United have is the manager that's looking after him. So,
yeah, they can bring in Messi for all intents and purposes. Yeah, as long as Ole's at the wheel,
they're winning nothing.
Yeah. Exactly. Avi, some people in the wanted to throw a few questions. I haven't got access to the comments today. Anything that stood out to you that you want to address?
Just the Sancho one, just the Sancho news. Avi, what happened in January? So people obviously still seething over January. Well,
we're not talking about January again. Yeah, forget about January. People always want to look backwards, not forwards. You know, we've got to look forward.
There's one here, Grizz. If you want to take it, any truth in the rumors, Goretzka, Coman, and Gravenberch, so you can hit all three stones together.
So there's definite links to two out of the three. Goretzka's the one that I haven't personally heard anything on. But again, it's very similar to the Thiago situation where he's coming up to the final year, Avi. He's coming up to the final year of his contract and he's refusing to sign. I think Bayern are unwilling to sort of go big.
It's the Sané deal that's wrecked all that now, because Sule is available as well now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, it's a small example of when you give one player such high wages and then everyone else comes knocking on the door and says, what about me? What about me? What about me? And then you have to make some hard decisions. They bought Sané on some insane wages. It's fair to say he hasn't fulfilled his potential. And I think Goretzka's probably going to end up staying at Bayern. I haven't heard any links to Liverpool directly, obviously, from what the press are saying. I do know of interest in Coleman, but I think, again, very much like Jessica said about the Everton news coming out to sort of pressurise Arsenal to let's move. I think it's for our targets to sort of get going. I don't think Coleman is someone that we go to sort of the price that they're looking for, which is around 80 to 90 million euros. And Gravenberch, I've said often, Gravenberch is the long-term project. Gravenberch, we earn for him, but Ajax don't want to release him this season. Ideally, one more season. So that's the situation with those names.
Grizz, this has come up quite a bit as well from John Cutler. Any sales, Grizz? And I know we've mentioned this off air, but are we basically waiting to offload a few before we go sort of, okay, we'll grab him from Europe, we'll grab him? Is it because we've maybe stockpiled a lot of players who were on loan in the last sort of year and a half who have come back and now we've just got to like get a price for them and just get rid of them instead of like Harry Wilson, for example? I know we've recoup like 10 million in loans from him, but is it time to actually let him go now for a reasonable fee, whether it's 8 million or 9 million or 10 million, just to get him off our books? Grujic the same.
Whether we like it or not, only Man City, Chelsea, and probably United don't have to worry about offloading players. So we've got Mike from Everton who mentioned about five players that are possibly wanting to go, or, you know, if bids come in, you'd be struggling. Jessica mentioned about Xhaka wanting to go, you know, possibly others as well that, you know, Reece, what's his name, the young kid?
Reece, Bellerin, like,
you know, how many bids? Villa making bids. So we're not immune to this, unfortunately. It's all part and parcel of football business. We're not in a position where we can disregard sales and just look at incoming. So we have to evaluate bids. It does seem like we're trying to create a pot and then go and get our targets. I don't think it's reliant upon sales, But I think it's reliant on the type of targets we can go for once we know how much is in. From what I know, that's the next best thing. If we can't get him for now, we're trying to do secure a deal for Gravenberch for next summer. But they're not budging. They know Gravenberch will be worth a heck of a lot of money next season, and fair play to them. But we're trying our bit. But Mike, I want to say, so, you know, looking at your squad, and, you know, you was quite honest and brutal about the state of your squad. I wouldn't have thought Ben White makes sense. And you said, yeah, it probably doesn't make sense. It makes more sense for Arsenal than you. What would you say your first priority is in terms of a position, any player that you've got in mind?
Yeah, so we need a right back. You know, first and foremost, we need a right back. The one that I want is Max Aaron, but I think we're going to struggle now that Burundi has left Norwich. So I'd quite like Lamperty at Brighton. Thomas Meunier. It'll be a name that no one's heard of, because that's sort of the way that Marcel Brands kind of works. You know, he likes to go out and get these, you know, established players, and he'll get one or two of them, i.e. Alan de Corvée and Rodriguez. But then he'll go under the radar and get a Ben Godfrey when no one really knew anything about Ben Godfrey. So I don't know who we're going to sign at right back, but that is an absolute priority for Everton. Coleman's been a fantastic servant, but he's finished. He's not top level anymore. Mason Holgate and Michael Keane will probably... I suspect they'll both leave. And if that happens, that's why Ben White makes sense, because he will play centre-back alongside either Yerry Mina or Goddard.
Mike, do you think James is gone then?
There's talks
on Milan today, isn't there, this evening?
I think James has gone. I don't think they had a good relationship at Real Madrid, Benitez and him either. I think he doesn't necessarily fit with the way that Benitez plays football. We all know Benitez likes to have every single player pushing, likes to be quite aggressive. He did it with his Newcastle side, he did it with himself. You know, he works and to the bone. I don't think James fits that model. I'll be sad to see him go, because, you know, when he has played for Everton, he's been fantastic. But unfortunately, he probably isn't. I'll let you do your super chat, and then I'll crack back on.
Got another. Grizz, you sure this ain't one of your family members? I see Mahmood. Thank you once again for the super chat.
I'm not happy if it is, like, spending this kind of money.
Thank you very much. Basuma isn't the ideal replacement for Wijnaldum. We need someone who is more box-to-box, but more importantly, who can chip in with some assists and goals. Our reliance on fullbacks to provide for our attackers needs to be tweaked. Would you agree with that, Bruce?
Look, I agree and kind of disagree with that. I agree that Basuma isn't the ideal replacement for Gini. I'd say they're different types of players. Gini was more versatile in that he could play the box-to-box role, as he proved for Holland in the Euros. We deployed him in various roles. I think Basuma is mainly a destroyer, but for his national team, he does play in a more advanced role. And even in previous, he was known to have a brilliant strike on him. So, which, unlike Gini can't shoot for shit. Like, that was one of his criticisms, man. Fuck's sake. Like, my baby daughter can kick the ball hard.
But he's got 16 and 26 for Holland, I think.
Yeah, tap-ins.
You realise, isn't it?
Tap-ins and headers, man. Forget that. We won't go into his Holland role. But I do agree with what he says about we need more someone who can chip in with goals and assists, someone who can get... We struggle to get people in the box, like on the edge of the box. We're relying on our fullbacks and then our three players in the middle, as opposed to someone, you know, sort of getting on the end of the box and trying to finish off moves. And that's something we're probably looking at for Neuhaus to do. He's very clever in those getting in those positions.
A lot of talk of this Octavio Gris from Porto, very similar to Coutinho in terms of style of play, close control, very nippy with the ball, quick.
Not having it. Not having it. As a player, don't rate him. at all. Yeah, man, he's pure. Nah, man, I don't even want to be rude to him. I'm not having it. He's not Liverpool. I mean, I don't know if Arsenal and Everton want to snap him up. You know what I mean? But nah, he's not Liverpool's levels. You know, talking about James, his love and desire for the game reminds me of Ozil near the end at Arsenal. Do you see a comparison that Jesse come in? You know, I don't want to go back to Ozil, but you know, and now from the Arsenal fans that I speak to, that criticism is being levied at your captain. I think he's your captain, Aubameyang. Is he still your captain?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just,
yeah.
Is there any justification for doubting his leadership, his hunger, his desire?
Well, just going back to the first point, do I see a similarity between James, Rodriguez, and Ozil? Yes, I think. But their journeys have been quite different. But I do think they've arrived at the same stop. You know, it's like, well, I've kind of won it all. I've done a lot, you know, and now I'm just kind of like on the end tail end of my career. Where can I go and chill, do very little and get a lot of money? You know, and it didn't really work out at Everton. So now he's trying to go to Milan, is it right?
So
we'll see what happens with that. But in terms of Aubameyang, I think it's just unfortunate. We have to remember the circumstances in which, you know, have happened this season. Ozil, yes, he signed a contract and then he fell off. And it seems like the same thing happened to Aubameyang. But I think it's quite different. Just, I mean, we started out the season with not a single creative midfielder available in the squad. You know, that's going to really like significantly hurt Aubameyang, which I look at the club and say, you know, if you're going to spend the money on Aubameyang, you have to have somebody in the squad that can get him the ball because he doesn't create his own chances. So is that really Aubameyang's fault? Not really. I also think he got assurances on the types of players that were going to come in and they didn't come in. We know that we were supposed to get Thomas Partey and Awar. We only end up with Thomas. That's an issue. And then they don't register Ozil, you know? So for me, I just think it started off bad. And then he had some injuries. He got malaria. His mother was sick. So I'm willing to give him like another season to see if he can come back into form. Because let's be real, like the guy was one of the best strikers in the league for the last 2 years. So I have a hard time believing that he's just the worst, you know. So I think Aubameyang will come back into form, but I'm not quite ready to be like he Ozil'd us. You know, I'm not quite there yet.
He Ozil'd us. Brilliant.
Yeah. Anything else in the comments, Mr. Abby?
Chris, there is some comments, and it's gonna be back to that one again. From what we've been told by GFFN, which is French's main national paper or outlet, yesterday night, Mbappe has made it clear that he is prepared to sit out his last year of his contract with Paris Saint-Germain. Chris, Kylian Mbappe. Hope, please, for fans that are just bombarding Twitter right now and bombarding every outlet. Hope for Mbappe to Liverpool.
I don't really like the way you asked me that question. Like, you kind of just put me in that shit where I have to like give you a definitive answer. Like, you could have just said, you know, your thoughts.
I said give hope. I don't own Liverpool.
Listen, let me answer in it. I don't own Liverpool. I don't. Run Liverpool.
Okay,
I don't make the final decisions.
Let me turn it.
Go on.
Do you feel that over the last sort of 18 months, right, that a presentation has been proposed to Kylian Mbappe, his family, or representatives, whoever they may be, and say, look, if you join Liverpool Football Club at 22 for the next 4 years, this is where we think you can develop to. Whereas we think that if you go to Madrid now, with all the turmoil that's gone on there, Ancelotti's not going to stay there for 3-4 years, guys. He's not going to last 2 years there, right? And with Benzema's 34, Varane looks as if he's going. So I don't know what he's really going for. He might have seen the players that have gone there, the Rodrigo's, the Vinicius's, the Brahim Diaz's, who are similar age, who haven't really excelled. Do you think Liverpool have proposed something similar and said, look, come to Liverpool, do a 3-year stint here, you'll be 25, and, you know, off you go to Madrid. Do you think something like that has happened in the previous sort of year or so, maybe?
So what we know, what we do know is Jurgen Klopp and the owner himself have entertained the Mbappe family. Now, I'm sure they didn't link up to say, yo, what's happening? What's the weather like in Paris? What's the weather like in Liverpool? Exchange niceties and said, yeah, we should have a barbecue sometime. That's logical, right? So that's a logical way of thinking about it, that we know of absolute interest in Kylian Mbappe. So when you have interest in a player, especially a business that is smart as Liverpool's, you know that there are certain players in the world or certain investments that you make, you know it's a banker. You know you invest in this player or this entity, the returns are huge, the commercial revenue is huge, everything makes from a business point of view. Even if you don't look at it from the sporting point of view, which is magnificent, he's without doubt probably the best. I mean, we may touch upon his, you know, penalty miss. I don't think that really does any harm to him long term. We know he's the best young player in world football and probably about to become, after Messi and Ronaldo, the best player in world football. So from that aspect, it makes every sense. Everywhere you look in social media and media, and, you know, you guys, Mike and Jessica, probably noticed that even though Man City are the richest club in the world, Chelsea have got money to burn. The only other club that's ever mentioned in the same breath as Kylian Mbappe, apart from Madrid, is Liverpool. Is that right, guys? Yeah? So there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because the people around Mbappe and the people around PSG know, especially in the French media, that we have an interest in him. Of course, it's a long shot whether we get that deal over the line. But to say, like a lot of people are saying, that we've got absolute no chance and there's no interest, defies logic to me. It makes no sense, because for the last 2 years, the only two clubs that have been mentioned is Madrid and Liverpool. And Madrid, because that's his childhood club, and Liverpool, because he said before he believes in the project that Klopp's doing with his team. He's called us a fantastic team, a machine. He doesn't talk about other clubs like that. That's after meeting Klopp. Klopp spoken to his father again for the purpose of trying to get the services of his son. So look, as long as Kylian Mbappe hasn't signed for another club, for me, there's 100% hope. I keep that hope that we can do something with him. That's just my opinion. But guys, do you want to read out this?
Yeah, that's super chat from Mika Johnson. I hope I've pronounced that. Mohamed Bulfasi of GFFN. Chris, you know what that stands for, don't you? Or you don't want to attempt it? Said Rafael Varane is expected to join United. Sancho, Varane, Trippier. Yeah, there's been interest from Trippier to United, and Ndidi or Rice. What a
look,
window.
Again, with these kind of things, what a window. Look, they've got Sancho. That's what we know so far. If they end up with all of them, then it's what a window. If they only end up with Sancho and then Trippier, that's not what a window. So, look, people are linked with everyone. Arsenal, Jessica will tell you, have been linked with about 10 players just in the last week. This kind of shit, it's that time of season. You know, I don't know if Mike, he's been like linked with many players. I haven't seen any names for Everton. Like, is there any names, Mikey, that you can fill in with us? Like, what, linked
the, with Everton? What, the ones when we had Carlo Ancelotti as manager, but now because it's been so all about managers, we've literally been linked with no one. Before then, we were linked with Koulibaly, which was just madness. That wasn't going to happen, but we were linked with him. We were linked with Isco from Real Madrid. We were even linked with Philippe Coutinho, which again wasn't going to happen.
Now we're going to be taking our scraps.
Yeah, well, you know. and now, yeah, the only player that we've been linked with recently is Matheus Nunes, who plays for Sporting Lisbon. Young lad, 21 years old, very aggressive central midfielder, good ball carrier, not Premier League proven. So again, a bit of a gamble, 15 million. And we have also been linked with Trippier.
Excellent. Southern Scouser makes a good point. He says, get ready for some random Spaniards, Duffies, because that's what Benitez used to do. Exactly. Guys, time has flown, man. And that's what happens when you're having great chat. I hadn't even noticed the time has been. I did promise you guys it's going to be maximum an hour, but I hope you don't mind. We're going a bit over time. Jessica, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, man. Hopefully we can do this again. Let the good people know where they can find you for more great, great content.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at It's Jacinho. It's right there on the screen. And I'm not sure, this is a Liverpool channel, so you guys probably don't care about Arsenal, but my channel is She Knows Arsenal. So if you want to pop over there and banter me, I know some Liverpool fans like to come over there and talk smack every once in a while. It's a good time, you know, so you can follow me there as well.
Bring it. Yeah, no, we know you can handle it now. So I'm going to join them myself, actually. I'm going to subscribe. And she definitely knows Arsenal. Mikey, again, thank you. I know it's been a bit turbulent the last couple of hours for you, but thank you so much for helping me out again tonight, man.
No worries. Obviously, I mean, Avi, you already know, you backed me when I had a bit of beef online the other month, so fair play to you. Grizz, obviously, we've known each other a while now, watch you on the Big Six, the Turkish and that, so, you know, got all the time in the world for you. The banter you have with Saeed is hilarious, like, absolutely hilarious.
Two peas in the pod, didn't they?
That's what it's about, man. That's what it's about. Listen, there's way too many serious people that take themselves too seriously on these platforms. Like, we're not Gary Lineker's. Like, we're not the people that go to Match of the Day for that. We're giving you fans' perspectives from real fans' point of views. So, and real fans banter with each other, guys. Yeah. That's what we do. That's what rivalry is about. Tribalism. As long as it's respectful. Always, you know, I've always got time for it. But thank you once again, my main man, Avi. You know, I forgive you for being late, you know, and all that. You're an absolute legend. What's happening? What's the plans for the week? Anything happening over the weekend?
No, it's a 4th of July celebration. So,
of course,
I will be here and there and celebrating with the in-laws, unfortunately. But my father-in-law's great. He's not a bad crack. So it's good. Just before we sign out, guys, please visit the lfcdt.com website. We've got some great new merch. Also, support the Sienna Steps. Let's get her treatment in America. So please, guys, sponsor where you can. And yeah, that's a wrap. I don't want to close the show out, so Grizz, I'll let you have the final words.
No, there's no more final words, man. I think it's been a fantastic show in the end. All the mayhem that I caused at the start, you know, I was a little bit late, but that's all it is. But apart from that, hope you guys enjoyed the show. We've got, what day is it tomorrow? Wednesday?
No, Friday, Thursday. Tomorrow, Friday.
Jeez. Yeah, close enough, one day out. Tomorrow is the European show, isn't it? The final one in the series?
No, it's the second to last one. We've got
Kiev. Damn, there's one more? I'm joking, Chris.
It's a good one. For all those who haven't been in a European Cup final, just come in and tune in and just have a little listen along. So no, it's all good.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant. But listen, guys, we couldn't leave the show without another dig at Everton. Come on, Mikey, you know the score. That's how it works, man. But brilliant, guys. Have a wonderful evening or day or afternoon, wherever you are in the world. We hope to see you next Thursday again for another episode of Transfer Carnage. Peace out. Sports Social Podcast Network.